Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is time for the 2026 offseason primer. It's not really what I want to be doing, but it's where we are. Obviously, would be rather be making plans for NFC Championship and all that other stuff, but here's where the 49ers are. And, it's funny. The wife was like, okay, you got to take days off now. And I was like, all right, I will. I'm going to take a couple days off. I promise. I made it one day. I took one day off. And then last night, as I'm getting ready for bed, the news, Robert Saleh gets hired. I was like, all right, I got to go live. It's what it is. So we'll go live. And I want to talk through just a lot of stuff to set the stage. Free agency, draft, DC, who's leaving, who's coming, salary cap. What picks you do have? Where are some of the biggest needs? There's a lot of that stuff that's out there that I just kind of want to set the stage for. And, the off season, if you're new here, we go live a lot. I don't do every single day like we do in season, but we're with you every single step of the way. And so we're going to be doing more in depth on the DC search. We're going to be more in depth in the draft, more in depth at free agent. But I just want to kind of just put a lot out there and just let's start we as fans shift our focus forward, understand just kind of what's going out there. And there is a lot to be positive about. I'm going to be very, very honest with you. Like, whenever you have a quarterback and you have a head coach that you should believe in, and I understand coming off that loss to Seattle, definitely questions are arise and all those things. But there is so much positivity out there with the 49ers. Your schedule's awesome next year. You've got your quarterback. You've got your head coach. You're getting a lot of guys back from injuries. Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, George Kittle even looks a little bit more promising. That Mikael Williams. You go on and on and on. There's a lot of people returning. Even Ricky Pearsall you can put in that category, who I know Ricky Pearsall played a lot, but you didn't get a lot from Ricky Pearsall. You have never gotten a lot from Ricky Pearsall, and I'm a Ricky Pearsall guy. I really, really do like it. He's just not healthy. And I don't think I'm the only one putting out this. And, I put out on Twitter and Instagram just, hey, wide receiver is a major need for the 49ers. I think we saw that the last couple weeks more than ever. You're playing with kind of the worst wide receiver core out there in the NFL. Maybe Buffalo and like in the playoffs. It is really, really bad. So I put you can't rely on Ricky Pearsall moving forward. You just can't. He hasn't even had 600 yards in a season. He scored 3 touchdowns in 20 games. I know he's had a couple good performances, but you got to question the health. And whenever it matters, where is that dude? That dude just got off the divisional NFC playoffs with 0 catches. And he played a ridiculous amount of snaps. I know he's not fully healthy, but 0 catches? I don't know, man. And so I love Ricky Pearsall. I'm excited for his future, but you can't count on that. So we posted that on social media, and Ricky Pearsall jumps in the mentions again. He did this right before the division round, writing the little notes emoji and keep that same energy. Dude, I like you, Ricky, but man, why don't you change your energy? Go out there and have a reception. Don't drop a crucial third down. I know you're injured, but they ain't got nothing to do with dropping a crucial third down thing. So I put Ricky in that kind of, dude, you can't count on him. You can't. Yeah, he's part of your future, and he's under contract for still 2 more years, 3 more years if you pick up his fifth-year option. I would argue probably not picking up his fifth-year option if things continue the way that they are now. People get mad at me about, he got shot. What's he supposed to do? No, I'm talking about the shoulder injuries, the multiple hamstring injuries, the multiple knee injuries, the ankle injury. It's a lot of injuries for only playing 20 games in 2 years. And even those 20 games he played, dude was a non-factor in probably 4 of them. Now, whenever he's on, he's on, and he's a perfect mix with Brock Purdy, but you have to kind of include Pearsall in this, man, what if? Like, I don't want to say it's a bust. I don't want to say it's not a fit because it is a perfect fit. But you can't count on it. Love all the hashtag CCs for the Countdown crew. You guys are incredible. Thank you guys for all the support during the season. What's up, Thomas? Appreciate you guys. Oh, we got Joe Blomsdauer. What's up? Jay Blab, what's up? Happy wife, half to your life. I got to try. She left for work, and so I jumped out here quick. I was like, I don't know. And so I told Wade earlier, I was like, dude, I don't know if I'm going to be able to record today. We got a bunch of stuff at the home. We're trying to get, you know, set up with the kiddo and everything. And then the wife left for work, and I was like, all right, I'm on here. She don't subscribe, so she don't know. It's what it is. Appreciate you guys. You guys are incredible. What's up, Captain? We got Sean in the chat. What's up, man? Great time at the tailgate as usual. That was a lot of fun. It really was great. It was weird seeing Seahawks fans show up to tailgates. You know, we go to, I've been to Seattle now, I think five consecutive years in a row. And where we host the tailgate, like, we don't turn anybody away. It's always all are welcome. We're not one of those people or one of those groups. And so we let Seahawks fans come into our event, and we let them know we're going to be respectful. But, man, they showed up this time. We've been there four years in a row before. You might have, like, 10 to 20, about 100 showed up, which was cool. We want to provide that space, and it was cool. There were a lot of fun dialogue. Everybody was respectful for the most part. It was cool. But it's just like, dude, where's that energy? You only show up for, like, playoff games? Like, what is that? Yeah. And Sean, like, we got to understand, like, the ebbs and flows of an NFL season are up and down. This 49ers season, I'm with you. Sean says, you know, man, it's rough every season for us. But all the losses, so much needed in draft and free agency. The crazy thing this year, you're not losing really a lot in free agency. Yes, you are losing, and you might be able to retain some of those. Not a lot of major key losses like the past probably 2 to 3 off seasons. Not a lot. And you know, when that reset year happened, you trade away Debo for pennies, that whole Ayuk thing, you cut Leonard Floyd, you cut Hargrave, you cut Malik Collins, you cut. Like, that was kind of younger, cheaper was the mantra last year. Now you've kind of reset. You had 100 plus million dead cap money that you paid other players to go play for other teams. This year, you look at the dead cap, 21.8 million. That's it currently. Now, that's going to grow because you're going to cut a couple players and, you know, whatever. That's going to grow. And almost all of that is Javon Hargrave. I would argue the worst contract in 49ers history. He still accounts for $16 million on the 2026 cap space, and he's about to get cut by a second team because he hasn't performed the Vikings, and he's going to be getting dead money from them too. Like, quit signing that dude or sign him for pennies. He's not good anymore. He hasn't been good for three seasons. What's the NFL doing? Anyway, so 21.8 million dead cap space moving in this year. Again, you had 100 million plus last year. So now you cut that by a fifth. That's going to help a lot. That's going to help a lot. Right here. See, I should really know fast if this is young and cheap versus upgrade the team. Hope it's the latter, expecting the former. Also expecting injuries to derail it either way. And I get that feeling. I really do. Like, you know, I had a lot of people reach out and they're like, dude, it's doom and gloom out there and everybody's upset. What's up, Alejandro? You're the freaking man. You know, everybody's down on the Niners. Man, you just got boat raced by a divisional opponent and you lost your DC 2 days later. I loved DC. I posted the Goodwill Hunting, Robin Williams, Matt Damon scene on social media where he's like, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Don't say that to me. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Like, That's just trying to comfort 49ers fans in this time. It's difficult whenever you're seeing the Rams still play, you're seeing the Seahawks still play. Like, man, you're pissed. You are pissed, and you should be pissed. But Robert Saleh leaving you not once but twice hurts, and leaving you for the Jets and then the Titans hurts more. And it tells me a lot more that, like, Robert Saleh just wants to be a head coach. He doesn't care where it is. I think the Titans is one of the lowest possible head coaching jobs in, but he was also, you know, one of the finalists for the Cardinals. I think he would have taken that. I think Robert Saleh just won a head coaching job, didn't give a damn where it was. And it sucks that, you know, I guess it's good that it's the AFC. You get him and Liam Cohen in the same division. You get Robert Saleh, D'Amico Ryan, same division. It's an easy division. I like Cam Ward, but he's not established. Like, and I said all along, like, dude, everybody gets two head coaching opportunities in your career. That's it. You get two. If you are unsuccessful at both, you're done. You miss out on those, it's two strikes, you're out in the NFL. You have success at one, then you get another one. But like I said, look, there's three things you need. You need quality ownership, a quarterback that's established, and a general manager that either you pick or is decent at his job. I don't know. He definitely struck out of the ownership. Titans ownership's one of the worst in pro sports. General manager, I don't know. Now, Nashville's awesome. I'd love to live there. Like, I'm a big Nashville fan. You know, whatever. I grew up in the South. The food's great. People are kind. Whatever. Music scene. Oh, live music's my favorite thing ever. But Cam Ward, I like, but I'm not calling him established. Yeah, like maybe, you know, get a good OC, you can figure those things out. But yeah, I really think Robert Saleh at the end of the day just wanted to be a head coach. It was willing to go anywhere that would let him. There's only 32 head coaching jobs. I don't fault him for that. What sucks is the 49ers don't even get comp picks because he wasn't even here 2 full years. So you lose him. And now the 49ers are on their fifth consecutive defensive coordinator in 5 consecutive years. Not good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Not good. Not good. Not good at all. And, you know, who the next guys, you went D'Amico, you went Wilkes, you went Sorensen, Pet Rock, then you went Saleh, and now whoever the new guys is. And there's options there. The 49ers have options at DC, if I'm going to be honest with you. They really, really do. You have two in-house options in Gus Bradley or KJ Wright. Gus Bradley is probably the most Kyle Shanahan hire ever, the most like vanilla bean hire ever. Like, just, yep, he plays our system. I like him. He likes me. You know, Gus Bradley coached red zone all year, did great there. He's got amazing tenure across the NFL. Not a bad hire, but also kind of one of those low ceiling, high floor hires. It's not a splash. It's continuity, and it's Shanahan's buddy, which Shanahan's friend means the world to get, like, team nepotism. You know that guy. I guess that would be cronyism. Nepotism is when they're related. Cronyism when you just hire your friends, I believe. But anyway, like, Shanahan is that to a T. Like, he is hiring everybody he knows. We'll see. KJ Wright, that is kind of, are you looking for D'Amico 2.0? He's been with the team, and I said, you know, KJ Wright would be the defensive coordinator in 2027. Could it be a year early? Those are the in-house options. And right here, yeah, David Wright. Now, out of house, Jim Schwartz. Makes a lot of sense. Now, you know, they fired the Browns, Jim Schwartz. They fired their head coach, Stefanski. He's already got a new job. And so Schwartz is the finalist for the Browns head coaching job. I doubt that he gets it. But then it's like, do the Browns retain him? Do they allow him out of his contract to go somewhere else? What's that look like? And you got to understand, parallel moves in the NFL can be blocked. He's a DC. Coming to the 49ers DC, that could be blocked. Raheem Morris, he is one of the few that is not under contract. And Kyle Shanahan is one of Raheem Morris's greatest friends ever. You go back and read Michael Silver's book, The Why is Important. Man, Kyle Shanahan got arrested for Raheem Morris before. Arrested. You go back and read that story. It's incredible. Kyle Shanahan has been adamant. You know, we've been doing this now. Shoot, at the draft, it'd be 10 seasons. That's crazy. Going on to 10 seasons, finishing year 9. Like, I've watched every Kyle Shanahan press conference that's happened since he's been hired in 2017. This is one of his favorite people in the world. So that aligns with scheme. I know he's done 3-4, but, like, it's multiple. Everything's multiple in today's NFL. Best friend of Kyle Shanahan. Like, dude, that makes sense. I like that. Schwartz could be blocked. Raheem Morris can't. And he's in the finalists for some head coaching jobs. Brian Flores, I don't think is a possibility, because he's a finalist for head coaching jobs, but he's still under contract with Minnesota, who I don't know why Minnesota would let him go. He would have to quit his job, then get that. I would love Brian Flores, but one, Shanahan has never worked with him. Two, Brian Flores is going to do whatever the hell he wants. Three, he loves Cover Zero. Kyle Shanahan hates cover zero more than anything. He couldn't handle Wilkes. Dude, Brian Flores is Steve Wilkes cover zero on steroids. He is the definition four loco defensive coordinator that's just going to do whatever the hell he wants to do all the damn time. And he is abrasive as hell. So if his contract's up, all right, that makes it a little bit easier. But I don't see Kyle Shanahan and Brian Flores operating together at all. At all. I would love it, but man, I just can't see a lot of cover zero blitzes. And Kyle Shanahan, like, he hates that crap. He hates it. So, you know, Gus Bradley, KJ Wright, Raheem Morris, those three are kind of in a tier of their own, in my opinion, of likelihood. But we'll see. Right here, 49ers need their own Spats or Fangio. That's hard. You have to find guys that don't have the ambition to be head coach. But you look at Spags was a head coach, failed. Fangio was a head coach, failed. So you and Spags is still out there interviewing for head coaching jobs, still trying to get back to there, just not getting it. And so Robert Saleh, the one good thing is, well, Robert Saleh goes to the Titans. I think that was a very bad decision. If this flames out, maybe you get him back, and then he is your Spags or your Fangio, right? Some people want to be head coaches. You don't fault them for that, and I'm happy for Robert Saleh. I think it was a poor choice. But, man, you never know. You never know. Lou Anarumo was, like, the finalist for a head coaching job, and everybody, like, he turned everybody down to run it back. Had a bad year, gets fired. Like, stuff could change in a year. Stuff could change in a year. Jason, yeah, right here says, hiring friends will put straight on the relationship if it doesn't work out. I've been a part of that. Not myself, but on staffs where the head coach brought in his, you know, best friend and whatever. And, dude, that thing went so bad in 2 weeks. And now those two dudes don't talk anymore. And, like, you're talking about two, like, high school Hall of Fame style. Like, it gets weird. Those coaching rooms get weird. they get really, really, really weird. Pete Carroll is out there. Nah, I'm out of that one. That defense. His defense had been good a long time. So that's kind of the defensive coordinator battle. Now, Arden Durte, I'm seeing him thrown around a lot for Seattle. But again, that's a lateral move. Now, Mike McDonald is the quote-unquote signal caller for Seattle, so it still is, you know, a lateral move. And you heard Kyle Shanahan ask, would you allow Kubiak to go be an OC somewhere else? He said, no. Kubiak calls plays with us. He calls a lot of plays with us. Why would I let him leave? He's our OC. Trust me, Seattle would do the same thing. So there's a lot of names out there that you're going to see floated around that aren't bad names, but I don't know if Flores, Durte, Swartz, even to a lesser extent, even have the option of interviewing for our DC position. I just don't see it. I really, really don't. Leon, I like this. Wouldn't mind poaching Jim Washburn for the Eagles, one of the most respected assistant coaches in the NFL. He's been around forever. The real father of the wide nine. He's the DN linebacker coach over in Philly. Yeah, I know he is. Everybody knows who Jim Washburn is. Everybody knows who his dad is. The Washburn family is very, very respected. Not a bad, but then I'm like, man, okay, you look at that defense, they have all the talent in the world. Why weren't they any good? You're not going to have that much talent for the 49ers. I'm just going to be very honest with you, but yeah, bring them in. I love that stuff. I love that stuff. So do you want the continuity of the wide nine? Do you want to shake it up too much? And I know, like, a lot of people just keep saying, you know, I think I'm out on the wide nine. The 49ers are doing a lot of crazy stuff out there. And so it's not just a wide nine every single play. It's a lot of wide nine. But you can adapt in today's NFL to a 3-4, wide nine, even odd front. Everything's multiple. I think that the philosophical ideas is the hang up for Shanahan. The bend, don't break. That's what Shanahan wants. He does not want to overcommit blitzers all the time. That's not what he wants. And so yeah, you know, if I had to guess, I would say Gus Bradley, KJ Wright, Raheem Morris. Those are the three odds-on favorites for me that are going to land the position. Yeah. All right. Let's talk some draft picks and free agents. Who are the Niners losing? How many picks do they have to get there? Let's get cap space, all those things right after this. Everybody's betting the NFL in full do or die mode. College football down to the last teams, and the Super Bowl is just right around the corner. If there was ever a time to get involved in the game, it's now. And MyBookie makes it stupid easy to play. One account, one wallet, bet the spread, live bet the second half, hit the casino during the commercials. It's all in one place, and you've got the power. Go to MyBookie.ag now and use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and you get your first bet covered up to $500. If it doesn't hit, use your bet back bonus token, run it back. Don't just watch the playoffs. Make them pay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, Texas, California, no matter where you are, only at MyBookie. The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co., it's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. All right, we got a couple super chats I want to jump into. Trey, my man, appreciate you. He says, love hanging. Mav had a blast. Love the season. Man, shout out to Maverick. Trey, Maverick, their family, they came out to Seattle. It was a great time. And Maverick was just an absolute studge. His coloring, his energy, such a cool kid. And so shout out to Maverick. Thank you guys for coming out. You guys were the best. Lyle, I got a couple super chats I want to dive into from Lyle, and I appreciate you, man. Says, John, if you can't push them, you're not going to beat them. Please, offensive line, Brock didn't have time to throw. The 49ers' philosophical idea, right, this is the Shanahan-Kubiak scheme, isn't to push people forward. It's to allow space to be created horizontally. That's the outside zone concept, all those things. They couldn't do that either. And I think a lot of it, I think it's twofold. Yeah, the 49ers offensive line has been neglected for a very, very long time. Only team in the NFL that haven't drafted offensive tackle in four drafts. Only team to not draft its center in over a decade. It's not important to them. And you've heard the offensive line coach, Chris Forster, talk about, we just want a bunch of average guys. We're not going to overinvest unless there's a difference maker. Maybe this year they get a difference maker. I doubt that you're going to see much change there. But when you have the offensive wide receivers that are just horrible, the worst offensive game, the worst wide receiver game you've seen from Juwan Jennings all year, worst game you've seen from Ricky Pearsall all year, gone. Jake Ton just tore his ACL. Like, good Lord. What are you supposed to do? There's no Kittle. DeMarcus Robinson's your wide receiver one. No team should be functioning like that. It was bad. So the offensive line and the wide receivers completely crapped the bed. Completely. Brock Purdy was the only player that played well offensively. That's it. Nobody else. I'm not going to put Christian McCaffrey in there. It was Brock Purdy. Dominique Pooney had a decent game, but like Colton McKivitz had his worst game of the year. Trent Williams was all right, but like it was just bad. And so, yeah, I wish they would shift their focus to more offensive line. Don't hold your breath. Do not hold your breath. Don't. Kyle Shanahan's whole idea is, man, we can fix it. Our scheme, we'll scheme it up. We're going to go pennies at the offensive line. It's just what it is. I know somebody's like, well, you're paying Trent, and now you're paying Colton McKivitz. The proof is in the pudding, guys. And I want those two guys back. Trent said he's coming back this year. That's huge. Colton McKivitz is good. He just gets beat by speed edge rushers. Yeah, guess what Seattle stocks up on? So you've got a chip. Now you've got a chip to help your offensive lineman. That takes longer to get out on your routes. It hurts it. Number two from Lyle. John, we need a center and left guard that we're getting beat. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Then go get a running back, Breece Hall. I love your attitude. What are you going to do with Breece Hall? You going to watch Christian McCaffrey take 60 snaps every single game? Kyle Shanahan, under no situation, he could have prime Bo Jackson. He could have prime Frank Gore. He is not playing anybody over Christian McCaffrey. He's not going to. He never will. It doesn't matter how much slower Christian McCaffrey is. It doesn't matter how hurt Christian McCaffrey is. You saw that. Dude's not playing anybody over Christian McCaffrey. So if you trade for Breece Hall and Barry Sanders and Walter Payton, they're going to sit their ass on the sideline as long as Christian McCaffrey's in uniform, period. Period. And so, yeah, period. We saw it last year, and I know Jordan Mason isn't great, but the 3-4 best runs over a 3-4 game period were all Jordan Mason, and that dude never saw the field after the most explosive play of the game three games in a row last year. Instead, you stayed with a hobbled Christian McCaffrey no matter what. Kyle Shanahan will never play anybody other than Christian McCaffrey when he is in line. And I love Christian McCaffrey. And I know this coming off of very negative. Kyle Shanahan will never, ever play anybody. Christian McCaffrey could be in a using a walker. Don't care. He's getting 65 snaps every single game as long as Kyle Shanahan's coach. Period. Period. Not changing. And, you know, I told this story the other day. You know, I do this. I walk on the treadmill. I put a weighted vest on whenever I wake up. I walk on the treadmill for like 45 minutes. And I put on like highlights or whatever. I put lots of different things. And so I was going back through all the games of the season, 2026 season. I'm going through them all. And I accidentally clicked the wrong button. And I was like, what the hell is this? I clicked on 2025 highlights. And Christian McCaffrey, I was like, who the hell is that? It was 2023 highlights. And so I was, you know, 2025, 2025, 2025, clicked the next video and it jumped to 2023 and I didn't notice it. And I was like, whoa, dude, what is going on? Like, is this sped up? Dude, anybody who watches the game understands Christian McCaffrey is not as explosive or fast. Doesn't mean he's not effective. Doesn't mean he's not amazing. He is amazing. But, can't average 3 yards a carry. A lot of that's the O-line, wide receivers, tight ends. I get it, but like the explosives were never there. The speed was never there. Still great. Still needs to be a focal point of the offense. But yeah, it's just he's not what he was, and he's never going to be. Father Time for those injuries or for running backs, undefeated. And now you led the NFL in touches. You go look at running backs who led the NFL in touches and what they did the following year. You got to limit your expectations on what CMC is doing next year. Now, you make the adaptation to the slot and the checkdowns and all that stuff. That's cool. But one game they incorporated snaps with Brian Robinson and CMC in the backfield at the same time. They did about five snaps together and they never did it again. I think it was like week four or five. That was it. Oscar said, so what you're saying is get rid of Shanahan? No, it's okay to critique. Definitely keep Shanahan. Dude should be runner up for coach of the year this year, period. But yeah, coach of the year should go to Mike McDonald. And what, that's my own personal whatever. If you want to do Vrabel, I mean, there's so many deserving coaches, and there are every year. But critique is one thing. I am not getting rid of Kyle Shanahan at all. Like, not even. If Kyle Shanahan was available right now, he'd be the highest paid coach of the NFL. And every single team would say you have 100% control of the roster, the draft, the final 53. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. Every single team, he would be the number one hire for every single team available. I'm not saying that's what you're saying, Oscar, but no, that is not what I'm saying. And Leon, this is what it should be. He says, you know, I truly think CMC is transitioning to be a slot wide back, a transition. That's what everybody wants. I'm not saying get rid of all, you know, of the carries and whatever else, but yeah, there we go. Silent. Is 26 draft deep enough for a game changer at 27? 100%. There are going to be so many great players. And like, you know, let me just look through here. I had it queued up. And I don't remember, but like, here are some of the players that have been drafted number 27 overall, which is what the 49ers are picking this year. Dan Marino, DeAndre Hopkins, TJ Watt, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Jefferson, Tre'Davious White. Like, there are studs. There's misses too. There are major misses too. But like, you can find Puka Nacua is a fifth round pick. Shoot, we could just look at the Niners. Talanoa Funga, a fifth round pick. Fred Warner, third round pick, right? You can find George Kittle, fifth round pick. Like, there are studs. Brock Purdy, seventh round pick. Yes, there will be studs at 27. You got to go find it. You got to go find it. And so what's that going to look like? Yeah, there are absolute studs. So let's talk the draft. Let's look at it real quick. Right now, the 49ers have nine picks total. Nine picks. You got your own first rounder, number 27 overall. You have your own second rounder, number 58 overall. Your own third, number 92 overall. Fourth round, number 127 overall. And that's the thing. You have three fourth round picks projected right now. You got your own fourth. You got pick 133, which is a comp pick for Aaron Banks. Pick 138, which is a comp pick for Charvarius Ward. So you got three fourths. Your own first, second, third, fourth, and then two additional fourths. You have a lot of draft capital. A lot. No original fifth rounder. That's a trade for Bryce Huff. Looking at it now, hindsight, I think you might have overpaid, but he's under contract next year. Do you bring him back? That's another conversation for another day. That dude fell off a cliff. His final 2 months were as bad as a defensive end could be, but you had nobody else. You get a fifth round comp pick for Hufanga. You get your sixth round pick. You traded for Keon White, but you get Minnesota's in the trade for Jordan Mason. You traded your seventh for Kalia Davis, but then you get the seventh round back for Keon White trade. So you swapped your sixth for their seventh. So nine picks. First, second, third, three fourths, a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh. You've got plenty of draft capital to add impact players all over the place. All over the place. All over the place. So yeah, the draft, and we're going to spend a lot of time. Now, I'm not going as insane on the draft this year because a couple things. One, my son's graduating, moving to Texas. That's a big deal to us. I want to make sure that goes well, move down there, you know, help him with the transition, all that stuff. He's going to become a firefighter. I'm super excited. That's huge. It's my 20th anniversary taking the wife on a honeymoon. And she asked me, she's like, can you not go crazy on draft this year? I was like, well, I'm still going to go crazy. Maybe not as crazy. So we're still going to do so much draft stuff. And we'll build out our own big board. And we've got our team of guys. I know Ben's already working. I know Brian's already working. We're going to do that. But I'm going to tamper down just a little bit. I don't think we're going to be doing a draft party this year or anything like that. But we're going to have you guys ready. And I always wait. And I know that there are people that do draft stuff year round and they are remarkable. Our pitch, and I'm not saying we do better draft work than anybody else out there, period. That's not what it is. Our pitch is we do everything from a Niners perspective only. So hang tight. We're going to cover a lot of the draft and the film breakdowns will be up on Patreon. And, you know, last year we nailed the number one pick with Mikael Williams. I told you that was going to be the pick. And, you know, if you watch our live draft coverage, we hit the number two pick as well with Alfred Collins. We hit CJ West. We hit Marquise Siegel. Like the fact that we got four of those draft picks right, it's pretty, like, I feel pat ourselves on the back a little bit. I think we did a pretty damn good job because we've been doing this. I've been covering the draft since before Shanahan was hired for the 49ers. I feel like we do a pretty good job. And the draft last year was pretty good. Was it great? Nah, probably wasn't great, but you got guys that can contribute. And so, you know, we'll do a full draft evaluation episode, but yeah, things are going to be all right. Let's see here. Lyle, appreciate you, man. If a team gave the 49ers two first-round picks and a player for Kyle, would you take it? Depends on how high. And Kyle and John have said, we'll answer the call on either one of us. If somebody offered two first-round picks and one of those is a top 10 pick, and you're getting a stud player, like a Pro Bowl caliber player at a premium position, I'd entertain it. Ooh, yeah, I'd probably take it. If it's a top 10 pick and I get a Pro Bowler and a contract-friendly young Pro Bowler, I would do it. I mean, shoot, you see the Saints, they traded, you know, those first-rounders for, you know, they got the first-rounders for Sean Payton, and now look where the Broncos are. You get a quality coach, and Kyle Shanahan is as quality as they get. I know a lot of people don't like him and whatever else, 100%. And, yeah, Jack right here, well said. My man Jack, appreciate you, brother. My end of season critique is not that we lost, it's how we lost. Kyle has no answer for McDonald, and our offense will probably be worse next season. Yeah. The wide receiver position was bad. The offensive line, you've neglected it. And, like, that's the thing that sucks is you're paying Debo and Brandon Ayuk, like, $50-plus million salary cap space to not even play for you. But Brock Purdy looked the part. Like, the scheme wasn't bad. It just wasn't executed. You didn't have the guys. And when Christian McCaffrey got hurt, then it was done. But, yeah, Kyle Shanahan has not performed well against Mike McDonald. That is 100% true. That is 100% true. However, I do have faith that Shanahan will get it fixed. I do. But, man, that offensive line got their ass beat, and the wide receiver skill positions got their ass beat. Brock Purdy looked the part. It just, yeah, that is a legitimate critique, Jack. I don't know what else to say. Kyle Shanahan got outcoached. And that's the thing. Like, you look, Kyle Shanahan is one of the greatest coaches in the NFL. A four-time coach of the year finalist now. Dude got outcoached flat out twice in 3 weeks. No doubt about it. I think Kyle would agree with you. He probably wouldn't use those words, and he'd come back with a snappy comeback and the passive-aggressive, all that stuff. But, yeah, it's there. The pick needs to be Emmanuel Perignon, left guard from Oregon. Man, you're not going to get a lot of argument from me. I want the center from Indiana. That's what I want. I want the center from Indiana. That's what I want. That's what I want. I'm just saying, oof. I want a quality center play. I'm tired of sub-adequate center play. And, you know, the center position is one of the worst in the NFL, across the NFL. There's not a lot of good centers. I want a center. And, you know, we'll see what it is. Now, let's get into free agency. Let's talk about what the 49ers are missing. And, I went through this list, and I was just like, wow, not too bad. Like, you're not losing a lot. A couple guys I want to bring back. But if you go to any sporting event, concert, whatever, make sure you use TickPick. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. So I do like this. Big Papa, if Mike McDonald makes us address our offensive line, it may be the best thing that's happened to us ever. Yeah. Imagine the 49ers actually giving a crap about, you know, winning up front. That would be huge. Ronnie says, John, will you be dropping your betting tips this week? Yeah, I'll post it on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon, both links in the description. Before NFC Championship week. Yep, I'm going to have some bets up there on that, some teasers, all that kind of stuff. Man, we had such a great year betting. I know last week didn't go well. That one was rough. But, man, we finished up huge. All right, let's talk 2026 free agents. These are the guys that 49ers are projected to lose if they don't bring them back. And there's kind of – there's three different tiers. Really, it's divided into two. There's unrestricted free agents, which the majority are, meaning they're free to sign wherever they want. Then there's restricted free agents or, you know, what's it called? Restricted free agents with the earnest rights. And those guys do not have the opportunity to negotiate outside. So free agency is divided into two tiers. You get the RFAs and ERFAs back if you want them back. Okay, so let's go through the unrestricted free agents. Okay, first, these are guys that do not have to negotiate with the 49ers. And number one on the list, Eddie Pinheiro. Good Lord. Sign that dude. 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 He is priority one. He is priority one. I don't want to draft a kicker ever again. That was the dumbest pick in the history of the NFL. Sign Eddie Pinheiro. You could argue he's the best kicker in football. Sign that dude. Juwan Jennings, I do not want to re-sign. I want him gone. Not because I don't like him, but because I see Juwan Jennings as a wide receiver three at best. He is not an X. He played above his pay grade, his station, his talents, and it worked out well. Sometimes a big reason why your offense sucked versus Seattle was Juwan Jennings. That dude got blanketed and could not do anything. No contested catches, no nothing. He's going to get paid. Now, if I could get Juwan Jennings back for $7, $8 million a year, I would love that. You're not going to. The 49ers are not going to. You're not going to. You're not going to. You're not going to. So I want Juwan Jennings to go get paid and get a comp pick back for him. I want him to go be the guy that he wants to be. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go. Eter Gross Matos, let him go. I do not like players that you can't count on. He missed, I think it was 20-plus games in the 2 years we had him. Not a smart football player, can't keep outside run contained. He could rush the passer from the inside, and that's it. He could do nothing else. You look at the two games that you lost to Seattle. Last year, the Geno Smith one, his fault. This year, ball bounced off his face, his fault. I do not want Yetur Gross-Matos back. I don't want him back. I don't want him back. Not saying he's not a good football player. I don't want him back. I don't want to see him ever play again. I don't want to see it. Don't want to see it. Brian Robinson, why in the hell would he come back here when Shanahan won't let him play? The running back should have had, how many carries do you guys think he had on the year, Brian Robinson? This is going to be crazy. Brian Robinson, here we go, had 92 carries for 400 yards, averaged over half a yard per carry more than Christian McCaffrey. That dude should have had 150 to 160 touches. Easy. No way in hell Brian Robinson comes back. No way. No way. No way. No. That dude's going to go play. He's 26 years old. Go to somebody that's going to let you play football, man. I wish we could keep him. I think he's a good fit. He's gone. Eric Kendricks, I would like to bring him back personally. But with Nick Martin, D. Winners, Garrett Wallow, we'll see what happens there. Like, Eric Kendricks ain't coming back if he ain't playing and given a spot. I hope they bring him back. Jordan Elliott, gone. Let that dude walk. I like him, and he's not a bad player. He's one of the most inconsistent. Motor is questionable at time. He does quit when games are behind. Let that dude go. It's time for the young pups to step up a defensive tackle. Alfred Collins, CJ West should be your starters for as long as you can keep them. That's all I can say. Spencer Burford, is he going to get paid like Jalen Moore did? Do you bring him back as the starting left guard? I don't want to do that, but I do like him as the swing option, as backup left tackle, guard. He's played right guard. He can kind of do it all, but Jason Pinnick, let him go. Cleveland Farrell, you want to be the number six guy, let him go. Curtis Robinson, I think he gets brought back just for special teams, and, you know, he wants to be here. Kevin Givens, let him go. Luke Gifford, I want Luke Gifford back. Yeah, Pro Bowl special teamer. You know, I broke down every single special teams play for the past several years. 5'7" is a difference maker. Just don't put him on defense. Like, just understand. Like, be a backup linebacker, not a starting linebacker. Yeah, I'm fine bringing back Luke Kiffer. Kendrick Bourne, let him go. Let him go wherever Mac Jones signs. Like, Sky Moore, I'd like to be brought back. John Weeks, I'd like to be brought back. Thomas Morstead, the punter, no. Let him go. He got worse and worse and worse. I mean, shoot, you're in a playoff game against Philly. You had two kicks that, you know, were under 30 yards. Nah. I like him, and he was good for a lot of the year. No. Ben Bartsch, no. Patrick Taylor, no. Matt Hennessy, I'd rather upgrade the backup and starter position at center. But Hennessy's cheap option to bring back. Our run game was dominant the 2.5 games Matt Hennessy played center. Against Dexter Lawrence, who did have a bad year, but, like, Matt Hennessy came in, and all of a sudden the run game was dominant. Jake Brendel gets healthy. They swap him right back out, and the run game completely disappeared. Shocker. Shocker. Garrett Wallow, get him back. I want Garrett Wallow back. Even, again, just special teams and backup linebacker. I'm cool with that. I love his energy. I love his fight. I love that dude is mean as hell. Like, I want him back. I want him back. Those are all of the unrestricted free agents that do not have to negotiate with the 49ers. They can go wherever they want. Now, the restricted free agents, these guys are not going anywhere. Sam O. I think if I had to give a player defensive MVP, it's either Diamador Lenore or Sam Okwuanu. This dude went out there, took over the spot for freaking Nick Bosa. Only had 3 sacks. Yeah, not great. 7 quarterback hits. Played 15 games. Started 12. Dude was awesome, man. Sam O ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere. I think he's your number 3 defensive end. I think it goes Bosa, Mikael Williams, Sam O, Bryce Huff. And just put Bryce Huff back to a specialist. And you might not even bring Bryce Huff back because there's no guaranteed money on his deal for next year. Dude, those final 2 months, he was bad. But, yeah, like, right, trying to find a defensive MVP, pretty damn impossible, right? Sam O's got to be really, really high on the list. Anyway, Jake Tonjes, a restricted free agent, you're bringing him back. And yeah, like, the injury – I may have misspoke on this. It did look like an ACL. Was it not the ACL? People are saying Achilles. It was a non-contact. I don't know if we ever got the actual diagnosis, and I'm not seeing it anywhere. I'm not seeing – I mean, he plants. I don't know what it is. But it was a non-contact lower leg. I guess it's not the ACL. I think I misspoke. But you're bringing back Jake Tonjes, period. Especially with Kittle likely to miss time. You got your guy. Kalia Davis, restricted free agent. You bring him back. He should be the backup now. Taron Jackson, meh. Chase Lucas, meh. Robert Beale, meh. Austin Pleasance. Again, those guys, they're all restricted. So bring them back. I think that's easy. Right here, the Gills me. Which free agent from other teams do you want in San Francisco? Off the top of my head, Alex Pierce has to be at the top of the list. Period. He has to be at the top of the list. Now,
me looking through, I want an X wide receiver. That's what I want. And so I want a true X wide receiver with a vertical threat. Mike Evans, I mean, how do you get him away from the Bucs? He'd be awesome as a one-year rental. Dyami Brown, not a complete player. Tuti Atwell, not a complete player. Marquise Brown, most injured ever. There's not a lot of guys. I'm scrolling, man. Rashid Shaheed's a free agent now. I'd love to get him. Now, he's much more of a Z, Ricky Pearsall guy, but you can't count on Ricky Pearsall either. I would like to get Rashid Shaheed. That would be awesome. Dude, there are just no X's because they're hard to get. And whenever you get one, you keep it. George Pickens, that'd be badass. He's crazy, but Alec Pierce would be the guy. That's probably my number one. Now, will they pay for it? Because he's going to be pricey as hell. He's going to be pricey as hell. Joel Petonio, the left guard, that would be awesome. Are there any centers worth Ethan Posick? That'd be nice. I'd take him. Tyler Linderbaum, good gosh, he's going to get paid. I don't think that they let him go. Like, there's guys out there. And again, today's episode is just, we're teasing a little bit, a lot of topics. We'll do a full 49ers targets and free agents. We'll do draft. We'll do mock drafts. We'll cover all of that. But the 49ers got like a lot of space. Like you look at the cap and kind of where things are there. Where's that at? Oh, I was on the wrong part. $30 to $34 million currently, based on, you know, if you're on over the cap or if you're on SpoTrack, there's some discrepancy. And then, you know, the likely to be earned contracts that were hit and not hit, you'll get some more, getting some stuff back. The Brandon Ayuk could add a lot of money there. And plus, how much is the salary cap going up? Then you get into players that are renegotiated contracts, released, dead money increase, but salary capping. Like, there's 49ers have room. They have room. Are they, you know, one of the highest salary cap teams out there? They are not. They will not be. But you'll be able to add way more than you did last year through free agency. Last year, younger, cheaper. I don't think that you have to do it so much there. Again, I do not even think the 49ers will try to reach out to Bryce Hall. I've seen Bryce Hall, like, you have Christian McCaffrey. You're not going after another high price. Bryce Hall is going to get top of the running back market money. He's going to get $16, $17 million. There is zero chance the 49ers go after Bryce Hall. And again, Kyle Shanahan will never play anybody over Christian McCaffrey ever in the history of mankind. Will not. He won't. Christian McCaffrey's dead body out there in a freaking wheelchair propped up and say he's the greatest player he's ever seen and he's whatever. Bryce Hall is not even, he's not even on the thing. I'm not saying it's a bad choice. I'm not disagreeing, whatever. I'm telling you it ain't happening. It's not happening. It will not happen. It won't happen. Sanjay, what's up? Thank you for the super chat. I agree with the people you mentioned to let go. Need better drafting. It's been bad. Love you, John. Love you too, man. Thank you, Sanjay. You are awesome. And yeah, you got to get better. You got to get better. And so you look at the draft, and the 49ers, like, I want to push back just a little on the whole, like, bad draft. Like, here are players. Okay. Just last year, Mikael Williams is a good draft pick. Alfred Collins, good draft pick. Upton Stout, great draft pick. CJ West, good draft pick. Marquis Siegel, all right, we'll see. Connor Colbert, we'll see. Now, Jordan James, Watkins, you never got to see them. Nick Martin, didn't get to see him. But that's five good players. Year before, Ricky Pearsall, good player, just can't stay healthy. Renardo Green, good player. Lowest football IQ ever. Dominique Pooney, good player. Malik Mustafa, good player, needs more consistency. Everybody, Tatum Bethune, you got your seventh round value out of him. That's like four. Year before, Jair Brown, no. Jake Moody, no. Cameron Latu, no. Darrell Luter, no. Robert Beal, no. D Winters, nah. Brayden Willis, no. Ronnie Bell, no. Like, that's 2023 sucked, but you didn't have a first or second round pick. You shat the bed. That's the worst. 2022 sucks too, but you got Brock Purdy, right? Drake Jackson, God, no. TDP, no. Danny Gray, no. Spencer Burford, good. Samuel Womack, no. Zakil, no. Khalil Davis, all right, good. Tariq Castro-Fields, no Brock Purdy. Great. Maybe the greatest pick in the Shanahan era, which is saying a lot because you drafted a few Hall of Famers already. So, yeah, like, have not drafted well. Yeah, I agree. Have not drafted well. I don't think you've drafted bad either. And whenever you look at other teams, like, shoot, Joe, there's some, you look at Brandon Bean and what they've done at Buffalo, like, those are some of the worst drafts I've ever seen, and he just got a raise and a promotion. Yeah. How can you say Greed is good player with the lowest football Q ever? I would say Kyle Shanahan and I agree on Renardo Green. Like, he has the talent. He's got that. That dude just makes the dumbest decisions all the time. That's why they benched him, I think, 4 or 5 times to scream at him on the sidelines just to put him back out there. Like, he's just not smart when it comes to football. I'm not saying he's not smart. I'm not saying he's dumb. I'm saying he doesn't understand football. He doesn't understand tape. He doesn't understand it. He just doesn't. The film shows what it shows. It's not based off of his press conference or his intellect or whatever. I'm telling you what the film shows. Football IQ is not there. Maybe that changes and he spends time watching more tape and understanding situational awareness, where he is on the field, where the sticks are, down in distance, just game awareness. He ain't got it. Doesn't mean he can't get it. I'm telling you, based off what he's put on tape through 2 years, that dude doesn't have a damn clue what's happening. Period. Period. Ask Kyle Shanahan. Go look at the clips of him screaming at Renardo Green multiple times this year. I'm just saying. I like to be a positive person. I go off of tape first. Tape says what I said. I hope I'm wrong in the future. So I don't think the draft, like, last two drafts, not bad drafts. Now, do you have any of those crazy home run all-pro players? Not even close. But, dude, you tell me you walk away in the last 2 years. You got a stud defensive end. You got to stay healthy. That dude against the run was incredible. Alfred Collins, stud. Upton Stout, probably the best of the past 2 years. The player that has the highest ceiling that you've drafted the last two seasons, Upton Stout. CJ West, starter. Marquise Siegel, he's got some traits. He's not there yet. He's got traits. You benched him all year for an idiot that don't even fit what you do and pisses me off. Hampered his development, but that's okay. That's 5. Ricky Pearsall, yeah. Like, just got to stay healthy. Renardo Green, just got to learn. Dominic Pooney, stud. Malik Mustafa, like, that's, dude, you've got guys. That's 9 guys in 2 drafts. Those are starters. Yeah. And this is another thing, too. I agree 100%, Bobby. The draft was better the last 2 years when Adam Peters left. 100% better. Way better. Look what the freaking Commanders did this year. Yeah, like, you just got to stay on the 2024-2025 draft pattern. You're doing great. If you got another draft like you did in 2025, I take it. If you got another draft like you did in 2024, I take it. Now you get a 2023 or 2022 or 2021 draft. Yeah. So you had 3 bad ones and you had 2 good ones. Ooh. Caesar, thank you, man. Love this channel. Yeah. Dude, CJ West, that dude's, he just steady incline play. Just steady incline play all season. Mustafa's problematic. He's got some issues. He's got some quality traits. He's got some negatives. You got to learn how to use that. You got to. You got to get there. And yeah, Akshay, my least favorite pick. My least favorite decision in Kyle Shanahan's entire tenure was, I'm with you. Akshay says, I'll never forgive them for Moody. Yeah, I won't either. I won't either. My rookie of the year, see, I'm stuck. I don't put CJ West in my, it's between Alfred Collins and Upton Stout. Alfred Collins, man, changed 2 games this year from L's to wins, like 2 games. Ceiling, Upton Stout might be that dude. Upton Stout might be him, guys. Upton Stout might, like, he has the trajectory to be the best nickel corner in the NFL, and that is by far one of the hardest positions to play in the NFL. And our scheme is the most demanding on the nickel of any defensive scheme. And he might be, like, I'm not saying he is the best now, but I'm saying Upton Stout might be, I'm telling you, man. Yeah, I think I would vote Alfred Collins, right? So if we're just looking at what was accomplished, Alfred Collins is probably the rookie of the year. And we'll do a whole award thing, and I'll go through the snap counts and back it up with, you know, whatever. I'm just saying, like, I've already started my, you know, the wounded gerbil in my head running on that little, you know, squeaky wheel. Like, I've argued with myself whenever I can't sleep. Like, okay, who's the best rookie we got? Who's going to be the best, or who was the best? Who was the best? Alfred Collins. Who's going to be the best? I think it's Upton Stout. I think it's Upton Stout. I mean, dude, and oh, he's so good. Maria, yeah, you can tell how much Stout wants to improve and how much he cares. Passion, pure pet. Same with the big dog. I mean, CJ West. I mean, passion is there. Alfred Collins, passion. Like, that's the thing that I care most about, especially in this post-Brandon Ayuk world. Get guys that love football, that love team. You mean tell me nobody went to your birthday party? How many of your teammates went to your birthday? Like, hey, maybe Kevin Costner was right all along. I want guys that love football and love the team. That's what I want. And you can't discount production, film, traits, blah, 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 blah. But you can't discount passion. And if you're just here for the money, we've seen how that works out. Go get guys that love it. You heard Kyle, you hear John Lynch say, we want guys that love football. He's been saying it for years. Go get them. Lyle, appreciate you, man. Trade Kyle for 2 first rounders and a player. Go get the head coach from Indiana. You ain't getting him. Take 2 years to win a national championship. Yeah, he ain't leaving. He said he's not an NFL coach, don't want to be, and he's about to make, I think, the escalators contract about to be, he has to be the highest paid coach in all of college football now because he won a national championship. So you ain't getting him. Would a team trade 2 first rounders and a player for Kyle? Cool. Okay, who are you going to hire? Who would you hire right now? Raheem Morris? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you got to have a team that wants to do it. And then you got to accept it. If I'm getting a top 10 pick and I'm getting a Pro Bowler, then the conversations would be had. Trading Mac will be a huge mistake. He saved the season. Brock most likely will miss games. Brock will miss games behind this offensive line, how tough he plays. And he does not slide or protect himself very often. He doesn't do it. He's going to miss games. And again, my thing on Mac Jones, I get a top 50 pick. Everybody has a price. I like, you give me 2 first round picks, a top 10 and a Pro Bowler on a rookie contract, I'm trading Kyle Shanahan. I probably would. You give me a top 50 pick for Mac Jones, probably would. Probably would. Probably would. I don't want to trade Mac Jones. I don't want to trade Kyle Shanahan. Everybody's got a price. Everybody's got a price. And yeah, going 5-3 in the 8 games that Kyle Shanahan missed. Whew. Dude. Oh. Yeah. Big Red says, I don't care if we're playing wide 9, man zone, tic-tac-toe, Yankee Doodles. We need to get dogs that bite on this defense. Yes. 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 That's what I want. That's what I want. Yeah. Cignetti just signed an 8-year dream deal where, like, he wrote all the stipulations, bet on himself, and he hit every one of them. He ain't going nowhere. That dude is going to be, they're going to build a statue of that dude outside Bloomington, like, tomorrow. Like, that dude, they're going to rename Indiana University Hoosiers to the freaking Fighting Cignettis. Like, that dude is now freaking God in that area. He ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere. Anyway, It's funny. I was going to do like a 30-minute show and whatever else. Here we are, hour, 2 minutes. It's what it is, man. I love you guys. I love that, you know, there's a freaking 1,000 people watching this across all platforms right now. And look, I've been through off seasons and the transition. And I remember the worst was it 2019. It was 2023. That was depression mode for a lot of fans. I don't feel that way right now. And I know things are down right now. You just got blown out, and then you just lost Sala. Bad, bad. But I'm telling you right now, the future is not bleak. It's not at all. There are so many positives. Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner. Dude, Fred Warner's back practicing. That's no question mark. Trent Williams coming back. George Kittle, the surgery went well. They're expected to speed the timeline up a little bit. I think we'll see him. Like, there are so many positives with this team. So many. Again, I just told you about the last two draft classes. They're good. They're not amazing. They're not great. They're good. You could get me one of those draft classes again, copy and paste it this year. I'm taking it. Sanjay, I agreed with the people you mentioned to let go. Need better drafting. It's been bad. Yeah, we talked about that one. I just want to make sure we touch all of those. Sanjay, Raheem or Swartz, not Gus for DC. Gus could be bad. I didn't talk about this. If I could have anybody, I would take Brian Flores 1. I would take Swartz 2. I would take Raheem Morris 3. Arden Durte 4, KJ Wright 5, Gus Bradley 6. That's my order without diving into a lot of tape and analytical, whatever, just off the cuff, right? Who I think Kyle prioritizes would be Raheem Morris 1, Gus Bradley 2, KJ Wright 3, Jim Swartz 4, Arden Durte 5, Brian Flores 6. Isn't that funny? My 1 is his 6. He hates cover 0. He's just so scared of it, man. May the Swartz be with you. Awesome reference, Mitchell. Everybody knows that. Your references are wild. I love it. Look at Peter. Watch it from Denmark. Really want to visit Levi's. Only watch 49ers in London, Green Bay. Peter, when you come out, let me know. We'll help make sure you have a wonderful time. Make sure everything's taken care of, man. You guys are the best. I appreciate y'all. That's going to do it for our show. I'm not going to get into a regular schedule yet. Still struggling, you know. I got to finish the breakdowns over on our Patreon. Every offensive, defense, special teams play. Those are going to be coming out in the next couple of days. It'll be kind of like day on, day off for a little while. And then we'll start diving into draft stuff. But I'm not going to touch draft stuff for a little while now. I'm just going to sit back and just try to relax a little bit and recoup so that I can, whenever it's time to do draft stuff, I do it appropriately. And I give it the respect that it deserves and, you know, can present informed decisions to you guys. I don't take it lightly that you spend your time with us, and I want to make sure you're getting well thought out, well researched, well watched, well informed takes. So anyway, it's going to be a while till we do, you know, mock drafts and all that stuff. I want to know what I'm talking about first. Kaz, thanks so much. Really appreciate all the teaching, explaining you do. Thank you. That's very kind. I learn a lot when listening to your show. That's the goal. You guys are the best. Y'all are awesome. All right. Until next time. It only goes up from here. Until that time, stay strong, faithful.